Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. What you are about to hear was originally recorded in 2010 as research for my book, Public Speaking Superpowers. After going through all this content, I've decided to release these 80-plus recordings as a bi-weekly podcast. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. Today, I'm speaking with Soul Dancer, and yes, that is his real name. Soul Dancer is known as a corporate shaman, ethicist, Socratic teacher, and spiritual guide. He's the author of the book, Pay Me What I'm Worth. His mission is to help people live life to their fullest. Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers, Soul Dancer.
Well, aloha, Karma. Thank you so much for having me. And please, I'm in the middle of a rainforest as we speak, so if my connection sounds strange, please forgive me.
No worries. So just so listeners can get a feel for your unique expertise, could you tell us a little about your journey to success in public speaking?
Well, this is a very intriguing question because I have molded, mixed together, folded, if you will, like a cook folding eggs into the batter. My spiritual training, along with my master's in social work training, along with my corporate consulting training with companies like Ameriprise, Wells Fargo, American Blood Bank Association, American Express. I've mixed it all together, and it used to be when I was asked to do a presentation, I'd get the topic and I would research the heck out of it, and I would put a great thing together and do the traditional rehearsal, and I would always get very good reviews, and everybody was all excited about it. Where I'm successful now is I've dropped the traditional training, and I'll get the topic that people want me to talk about, but 10 minutes before the actual presentation, I always request that I have absolute silence in a place that I'm going to be presenting at before I go on stage, and I just get into that spiritual side of myself, and I ask for guidance on what do these people need to talk about today, not hear, talk about. And do you know, Karma, that the retention of what I do now is actually 80 to 90% 4 to 5 years later versus the traditional model? Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it totally makes sense, and you're not the only public speaker who said basically the same thing.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So, do you believe that public speaking is a learned skill or something you are born to be able to do? And why do you feel that way?
It's kind of a little bit of both. I think we're all born to teach. I think our possibilities of teaching puts us into that public speaking realm. Now, how comfortable you are in teaching is the next question. If you don't think you have anything to teach, I beg to differ. We all have expertise. So if you're willing to, like a seed being watered and given sunlight, if you're willing to water that seed to allow yourself to speak in a public format, find the right coaches, find the right training, and by that I mean you feel comfortable in what you're doing, you are put in an environment where you don't feel shame or guilt, I think anyone could become a great public speaker with enough confidence.
Good. So now, thinking of yourself, Imagine that you are a public speaking superhero. What do you believe would be your main superpower?
The main superpower I believe I have is I get real fast with the audience. More often than not, most audiences are thinking, okay, what's this guru going to yell at me or talk at me about? And my superpower is I get very real, very human, very personal, very quickly, and then I turn the tables. I ask people to actually stand up. I ask people to actually start talking to each other with questions that are guided and facilitated. And the public speaking events, the superpower I have is people begin to get engaged. I think that's one of the key superpowers, getting people engaged more than just sitting there and listening to someone yabber away up on stage.
Interesting. Now, if someone wanted to cultivate that superpower in themselves, what advice would you give them?
They've got to let go of control. They've got to let go of the fact that they think they're in control of their presentation. In order to get people engaged and talking and getting them really excited and really learning something in the presentation, they must understand that every single person in that room is an expert. They are experts as well. When you allow them to be the teacher, even in that moment, you have to let go of control. So that means let go of the timings, let go of the bullet points, let go of whatever it is you think you want to say, and allow it to flow. Now, to do that requires letting go of control and trusting that it turns out perfectly every single time. But for those who, that's just too freaky, you know, they've got to have their notes, they've got to have their outlines, they've got to have that bullet point, they've got to have that PowerPoint, that's fine. If you allow yourself to eventually use those tools when and only if you really need them and then get more free flow, you're going to find you're going to be a much more effective speaker, you're going to be more sought, and people will remember what you talked about for, I've had people come back to me now decades later, still laughing about some of the things that they heard in the presentations I've done.
Wow. You know, it's interesting that some of what you said has been repeated by a lot of the people I'm speaking to as part of the Public Speaking Superpowers Project, and it all comes down to not only reading the room, but tailoring your message to the audience.
Yes.
There's sort of a give and take, and I think some people feel or believe that that give and take is something that's much more structured, like they raise their hands and ask questions. But the impression I've been getting from talking to all these professional speakers is that it's almost an energy thing.
Yes. Bingo. Bingo, bingo, ding, 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 ding. You got it. You got it.
So if someone's coming to the public speaking profession or just as a skill in their business, how does someone cultivate their ability to read that energy? I mean, it's something that's kind of intangible.
It is, and I ask you to go back to when you were a kid and you trusted your intuition. I mean, isn't it true, Karma, when we're kids, we just trust our intuition. We don't doubt it. We don't make it prove itself. We don't double guess it. We just follow it. True?
I would think so, yes.
Then for some strange reason, whether it's our educational process or whatever the reason, we start doubting our intuition. In fact, we turn it off and we do our best not to even listen to it. Therein lies the key for someone going into public speaking. Listen to your gut. And if your gut is telling you, you know, I was supposed to talk about stress management today, but for grins and giggles, I'm just picking up, I'm supposed to talk about, and then insert your topic and ask everyone, by a round of applause, would you rather hear about that? Well, boom. They may have hired you to speak for 45 minutes on stress management, but you're reading that they really want to talk about the current earthquake that happened two states away. You're picking that up. It's timely,
right.
It's real, it's applicable to their life. And then if you're really masterful enough, you will actually parlay your stress management presentation into the topic of the moment. Did that make any sense?
Yes, it did. And I was also thinking before you added that last bit is, if you've been hired to talk about a certain topic and you don't talk about that topic at least a little bit, you're going to get in trouble. Or at least you're not going to get a second chance to work with that company again.
I've had quite a few times, and each time they said, thank God you changed it.
There's a balance, because there's really three, I guess, entities, for the lack of a better word, that need to be satisfied in any given presentation. There's yourself, because you need to be happy with what you've done. There's the audience, because they aren't going to take home your message if they aren't engaged. And there's the person who hired you, because they've spent money on you to do a specific task. And you have to balance all those three things that at times can feel like they're at odds.
They can be, and that's why I have a rigorous pre-screening program when people call me up and ask to speak. I am point blank with them. I said, are you comfortable with, and then I give them my 3-point outline. One, I'm going to be timely. Two, I'm going to have your audience talking. They're going to be talking. They're not going to be sitting. They're going to be talking. They're going to be exchanging information so that they can remember it. And three, are you willing to be part of it? Meaning you're not just going to be sitting back taking notes someplace. You're going to be engaged as well. And if they can't answer yes to all three, I have to turn down the offer.
Now, this is an interesting point no one has really mentioned before, is that pre-screening process. And it sounds to me like that would be a very wise thing to do, regardless of what your expertise is or what kind of presentations you give, is that that pre-screening can, number one, weed out the presentations you shouldn't be a part of, and it can also strengthen the presentations you are supposed to be a part of. So I was wondering, what kind of advice would you have in anyone developing their own pre-screening process?
Think about the last time you went to the movie theater and you paid your $10 and you sat there, and before you actually saw the main event, how many previews did you see? It's growing worse. I mean, you can be 10 minutes late to a movie and still be on time these days. Those previews, they're warming you up. They're planting seeds. They're getting you excited. It's like, oh, yeah, I want to see that, but oh, God, that looks awful. You know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Your pre-screening is your preview to your client. If you do it successfully, your client is going to be buzzing about you months in advance. So your pre-screening has to actually build that buzz by you being you with the client that's hiring you. And by doing so, you become an asset to the overall event, not a debit, as in, I have to pay you a check. So your pre-screening is to be as authentic as you can be. No parlor games, no bait and switch at all. If you're desperate for money and you need that job desperately to pay your bills or whatever the case may be, and you're willing to play games, well, it's going to come back and bite you in the butt every time.
Yeah. There's nothing worse than the smell of desperation. It makes you act crazy.
Yep.
I mean, because I've been in places of desperation where, you know, I've signed on to do things, and then after I'm like, I hate doing this. I don't want to be doing this. Why am I doing this? And then, of course, I suck at it because I'm not interested. I'm not passionate. I'm not into whatever it is I'm doing. And so I've just learned it's like just go with the flow and never make a decision based on desperation because you make bad decisions.
Bad decisions, and then people intuitively feel that karma. You know when a person up there presenting is there to do a job, and when they're there to do it because they absolutely adore it.
Again, that part of that energy thing.
Yep, you got it.
Well, thank you so much, Soul Dancer, for sharing your unique insights with us today at Public Speaking Superpowers.
I am honored, and it is a pleasure. Thank you, Karma.
You're very welcome. This is the end of today's episode of Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence, signing off.
Because this was recorded a few years back, I've cut the speaker's contact information from the recording because it may have been out of date. If you would like to learn more about today's speaker, go to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com/featured speakers and click on his picture. I'm working to keep the information there as fresh as possible.